You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Rejoicing in Difficulties. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
Thousands of clergy, priests, and pastors are quitting their jobs. Shepherds of the flock, those expected to encourage the depressed and to lift up the down, these spiritual leaders are themselves saying, I cannot take it anymore. What is happening? At the same time, and on a more positive note, a second question must also be asked. What power enabled the Apostle Paul to maintain a ministry of joy even though he lived and he worked in the midst of endless stress and continuous turmoil? Now, if you think, my friend, that life is challenging for you, then listen to the confession of St. Paul. Three times, he writes, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. Now this preacher of the gospel then concludes, I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And yet, in spite of all these trials, which surely weighed heavily upon this follower of Christ, the Bible tells us that this zealous missionary continued his ministry with great joy, welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. The key to St. Paul's ability to live with joy in the jungle of the social conflict of his day was his attitude. And this positive attitude was not of human origin. This optimistic outlook was formed and fueled by God's gracious gift, a faith and life connection between St. Paul and Jesus Christ. This divine source enabled this great missionary to begin every day with a realistic and honest view of how a follower of Christ automatically thinks while living in a world that is in conflict and fragmentation. I consider, St. Paul said, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. No, St. Paul did not diminish. He did not make light of the conflicts that all of us experience in life. However, instead of focusing upon the difficulties of each day, St. Paul fixed his faith. Yes, he set his heart on the future and the certain hope of heaven. This total view, this complete view of life, which always involves heartache and hope, life and death, and heaven and hell, this attitude positively transformed St. Paul's attitude also. It changed an existence of endless anxiety and the hellish demands of trying but failing to fulfill the law of God and transformed it into a life overflowing with joy, knowing that Christ has already fulfilled the law in our place. No wonder then St. Paul confessed, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This disciple of Christ, driven by the love of God, was filled with the Spirit and the knowledge that soon, because of Christ's death and resurrection, he too would be welcomed into paradise, where there is waiting not only for St. Paul, but for all of Christ's followers, paradise, a place of no more tears, no more sorrow, no more conflict, and no more death. And so then, no matter whether you and I are clergy or laity, rich or poor, well-known or unknown, unless we are willing to reject the currently popular secular and self-centered view of the world, and unless we are willing to adopt a biblical view of the world with Jesus Christ at the center, then we shall certainly continue to be swept along in the sewage of endless introspection, needless negativism, and daily discouragement. Therefore, my friend, on the basis of God's encouraging word, recorded in the Bible, Every morning as you roll out of bed and place your feet on the floor, begin every day. Yes, each day with a new Christ-centered and Spirit-empowered attitude. Take just one moment, 1 minute, with your head bowed in reverence and with a repentant heart, pray with boldness and confidence. Your gracious Heavenly Father will surely hear you. Confess to Him that on your own and in your sin, you are powerless to overcome all of the negative forces and all of the endless conflict that you and your family are now facing. Then with a repentant heart, ask God to fix firmly in your soul a fearless faith in Jesus Christ. Attached by God's gift of faith to Christ, you will then experience a new life. Daily problems, they will not disappear, but like a wise ship captain who navigates among the dangerous and life-threatening rocks of a tempestuous sea, Jesus at the helm of your heart will guide you also through the rocky trials of every day. Several years ago, an internationally known clergyman addressed 10,000 pastors and laypeople in St. Paul, Minnesota. On the basis of the Bible, he explained convincingly that coping with life does not mean finding a job or a lifestyle where problems do not exist. This is only some foolish dream. It's foolish idealism. There is no such situation in life. Other people who live and work around us do cause us problems. But you and I are also part of the problem. Each of us is in a state of rebellion toward God and toward each other. Consequently, we need to be realistic. The world is a challenging place in which to live. You know that, and I know that. It's tough out there. This was made clear in a report by Newsweek magazine describing the life of actress Grace Jones, who starred in a James Bond hit movie. She said, "I don't like holding things in, and I don't care who it is. If he's annoying me and I feel like hitting someone, I hit them." Now, with these types of negative role models pouring their philosophy of uncontrolled violence into the minds of our children, is it any wonder and surprise that we are now seeing more and more people, adults and children, in constant conflict? So, what's the answer? Some of us try to avoid all conflict and disagreements in life. But as we have already pointed out, this is simply not possible. The perfect office for secretaries, the ideal store for grocery checkers or salespeople, the utopian grade school for teachers and students, and even the perfect congregation for a pastor simply does not exist. You see, before you or I try to find solutions, and before we launch out in search of a better situation or a better environment, we need first to remember the words of the Apostle Paul. All of creation groans, he said, under the curse of sin. The Bible explains that when God created the world, it was perfect. And yet, because of Adam and Eve's sin, in which you and I participated, by the way, we now have this mess, which you and I have helped to create. So let's not always point the finger at somebody else. You helped create this, and I did too. We have all been part of it. How then does a person live in this jungle of inevitable daily confrontation and conflict at home, at school, and where we work? There is no human solution. Only God offers the one solution. In His holy word, God offers us a radical and a very surprising answer. Instead of saying, "Fight back and get what is yours and run," our gracious Heavenly Father says instead, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God, in Jesus Christ, also has forgiven you." The secret to life and the key to living is not found in some new best-selling paperback located on the shelf at your local Barnes & Noble or Borders or Chapters bookstore. Now, indeed, these books do often explain how to manipulate people and situations. However, God's secret to life and to getting along and for being positive in the midst of the confusion and constant conflict of society is forgiveness. And the center of this forgiveness is not a philosophy, but a person. This person is God's Son, Jesus. This person, this man of flesh and blood, died on the cross to pay for all the sins and the conflicts and the misery and the grief that you have caused in your family and among your friends and in society. But it is also Jesus Christ who is now coming to you with love in his eyes and forgiveness in his heart. Jesus is saying to you, I have died for your sins. Through me you can be totally and completely forgiven. Jesus is saying that through his blood he has paid for all the hurts that you have caused in your family, in your marriage, among your relatives, and with your friends. This is God's good news for you. Your failures are forgiven. And now, my friend, enabled by God's gift of faith, act. Yes, act on this good news. Put your sins and failures behind you and cling tightly by faith to your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. With and through his gospel, God then also gives you additional gifts. These special gifts from God will enable you to live in harmony and happiness even while many around you feel helpless and hassled. This special blessing from God comes through the gifts of the Spirit. Without these gifts of God, our life can only be negatively oriented. We are then driven by our flesh and our selfish self. St. Paul writes that these deeds of the flesh are evident. They are strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, and envying. But then St. Paul adds the positive side. He lists the gifts that God gives to us through his Word and Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, he writes, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so then, on the basis of God's Word, we can see that, in many ways, the way you face life is up to you. You can buck the forces of the world with meanness, anger, hatred, and vengeance, and in all this consider yourself then also a part of the problem. Or you can be a sweet fragrance and a part of the answer, an aroma of patience, forgiveness, and hope. Alone and on your own, you cannot be this, but with the life-giving resurrection and power of the crucified and resurrected Christ, your friends, yes, and even your enemies will come to respect and even love you. The next time you find yourself frustrated with life, tempted to anger, and looking for someone or something to blame, say to the devil, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I have a new life in Jesus Christ." Then also repeat the powerful words and the confession of the Apostle Paul. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me." Oh, indeed, life may be an endless battle, but you, my friend, do not have to be a victim of this conflict. With the power of Christ's forgiveness in your heart, and with the Spirit-driven attitude of St. Paul in your mind, live above these daily difficulties. Of course, you will still be in the world, but you will not be discouraged by the world. Like St. Paul, you will then be enabled to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Dear friend, let Christ enable you to live above your difficulties, and let this new life begin for you today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.